Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today. Joining me today, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come and join us for New Life.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son. He's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends. Okay, so number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they're just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today. And when I say us, of course, I'm talking about the wonderful, fabulous, charming, wise Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, guys.
Hey, Stevie.
Hi, Steve.
Well, it's not a very happy day. I think when things happen, tragedies happen, I think we feel it very deeply. And I'm talking about Rick Warren's son, Matthew, taking his own life on Friday night. And I just think we ought to spend some time talking about that. You know, he had struggled over the years, many years, had made other attempts. And it just seemed no medication, no treatment could get through. And finally, he was successful in his attempt this past weekend. And our hearts go out to the Warrens. Our prayer. I think John is actually preaching out there, John Townsend, next Sunday. Mylon and Kay were right there by their side. I know that. But we mourn that loss. And I got to tell you this, even more than mourning that loss, some of the people's reaction to it has troubled me even worse. People saying, you know, your son is in hell because he committed suicide. I mean, that is not true. And even if it was, why would you even say that? I mean, why would you do that? I just don't understand the heart of some people. And
yeah, absolutely. Because regardless of what happened, they are hurting.
Right.
They are the ones left behind. That's not very comforting.
So much venom in the Christian community.
Well, you know, and we hold our leaders up and we want them to be, you know, more than human, more
right.
than they can be.
Yeah.
And so we do tend to crucify them.
Well, what do you think we could say that needs to be said in the wake of this, Henry and Jill? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, see, I'm with Jill in terms of the first thing is, you know, our heart just goes out to the family, you know, primarily. It's such an unimaginable loss and tragedy. And so I just, you know, I'm sure all of our listeners, because they are the kinds of people who feel, you know, compassion, identify with suffering, that they are praying for the Warrens and for those close to them and also for the community there at Saddleback. And I think that's our main thing right now is
I agree.
We just...
It's just to sit in it with them, right?
And lift them up in prayer and feel with them and for them and just that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just it.
Well, I think that's so true. And, you know, above all else, if we can't love other Christians... And if we can't love other Christians at their darkest hour, I mean, you really have to question your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to shame any. Okay, yes, I am. I am trying to shame some people. I admit it.
Well,
you really need to look at that.
Well, we push away our
uncomfortableness, I think.
And the scripture says that those, you know, without love, that you better question yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. And we do that for the Warren family today. We'll be back right after this.
sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Denham April 26th through the 28th in Denver, Colorado. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I came this weekend hoping to get some new tools and sharpen the ones I already have. I am leaving with weapons of mass destruction.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. More than ladies and gentlemen, you, lady, you, gentlemen, who are listening. We love you. We care about you. And if you're troubled, sometimes things like this bring things up. They trigger things in mm-hmm. folks. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us talk to you. There are plenty of counselors around the country.
And Steve, another thing that I wanted to say about it, because I think a lot of people that listen to this show are connected to people who suffer mm-hmm. from, you know, all sorts of mental illness and especially depression, is and sometimes for people who don't understand, but they know people that that one of the things that that a lot of people don't understand who have not been close to that kind of depression is that it's not like somebody is depressed and then they are thinking with some other part of them that's not depressed. Mm-hmm. That when somebody has the mm-hmm. real thing of certain kinds of biological depression and mental illness, the part of the depression is thinking that is depressed thinking, that is irrational thinking, that doesn't include all the different parts of people that aren't thinking that way. And so the thinker itself is broken.
Right. And it's very narrow thinking.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, that it's not like you're depressed sometimes and then have full capacities of all your thinking.
So, yeah, it's such a good point. You come to believe that you have no options.
Mm-hmm. Even when other parts of you would know those options.
Yeah. You can't tap into optimism, options, hope. You know,
rational thinking.
Yeah, it's just not there.
Yeah. No, and everything then, is depressed.
Right.
Right.
And you know, in the area of suicide, if a person has access to something, you know, they'll if they're suicidal, they'll do it. But when you interview folks that don't make it, very few of them want to attempt it again, and it's those really severe, amazingly pathological, difficult to understand depressions where, you know, they do try over and over again until they succeed. So,
I just think that two things we can draw from this. One mm-hmm. is for compassion for those who suffer like that, mm-hmm. and understanding. But also, if you know anyone that you know that might be in that place, you know, it's always err on the side of compassion and err on the side of caring and get them help.
Right.
That's right.
You don't have to make sense of it for them.
Right. You don't
right?
have
Sometimes
to.
We feel like we have to.
Yeah. You don't have to right. say. Being there is mm-hmm. often all that's called for. Well, let's start off. Let's go to our phones and talk with John from Shreveport, Louisiana, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, John. Welcome.
Hello. How y'all doing today?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm not doing good. I just call. I listen to y'all all the time, and I decided to call today. I need, my point is healing.
What's going on?
Well, this month would have been my fifth wedding anniversary to my wife, and she walked out of our marriage last month.
Mm.
And with no explanation, I mean, we met at church met at church 7 years ago. We dated for 2 years, and she just decided she didn't even call me. She just packed up a month ago and just left.
And have you had any conversations with her since then?
She only sent me text messages.
What does she say when she texts you?
She told me she wasn't in love anymore. She hadn't been in love for over 10 months. And she just said she just wasn't in love anymore. She wanted to move on with her life.
Mm.
And trying to put it is, we had a church wedding. We got married at our church, and you know, both of us went through bad marriages before, but we dated for 2 years. We went through marital counseling and everything, and she just up and left.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, that's so painful, John. And it sounds like you're not really understanding what went wrong here.
Yes, I mean, I've been, you know, 10 months ago when, I thought, you know, everything was all right, I asked, did she want to go to counseling? Our pastor said, well, I'll take y'all through counseling if anything wrong. So I've been going myself, but she said, ain't nothing wrong. Then when I got home from work, I left to go, I'm an older road truck driver, but I'm in and out. I'm not gone all the time. And
yeah. Well, what,
I left to go to them, sir.
What could we do to help you? What's your question for us? Because we know this is a tough, tough situation.
I just need one more step. I pray every day. I'm a praying person. I just need some encouragement, some way to let this healing process start for me. Because she told me out of her mouth that day she left, she said, you're finally free. I'm done. You're free.
What are you free of?
She won't even tell me that. She just said she finally free. She said, I'm free of her.
So she feels really bad about herself, it's sounding like.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so somehow you needed to be set free.
Right.
So, John, the fact that she's texting you, and when you text her, does she respond back?
Yes, she's wrong. The only thing she tells me in the text messages is that I finally let you be free, and I don't understand that.
Right, but it was a unilateral decision. You guys didn't discuss any of this, right?
No, ma'am, not
right,
at all.
Right.
I mean, I was planning for our anniversary. We was going to go to Hot Springs for our fifth anniversary, and I had all the reservations made.
Okay.
Okay, so,
John, I think it's good that you are in counseling, and I think it's important that you continue to do that. And, you know, I would probably, you know, it's just been a month, I would continue trying to make contact with her, not obsessively, you know, not out of desperation, but to let her know that you would like to be able to talk with her about what went wrong so that you both can understand and that you feel that she made a decision for both of you and that, you know, in relationship, you would like to be included in the decisions.
That's all I really wanted. That's all I really wanted.
Yeah.
Well, I think an appeal to her after all we've been through, could we just have one conversation would be a really good request.
And John, sometimes if there's been, you know, kind of that history of not talking or something like that, it may be good to have that request to be done, you know, with a really good counselor or with a pastor or someone. And I would communicate to her, you know, if that's your decision, I understand that that's your decision. But even if it is, I still need to hear from you.
Right.
Right.
Because I will need to go on, and I will need to have some closure. And I, even if that's your final decision, I still need to talk with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you truly do want me to be free, I can't be free without some understanding.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's all I want. I mean,
that's right.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's all I've been asking her. Please, just...
Yeah. Well, John, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and I hope and pray that that can be of help to you, and we're really sorry for what you're going through. And so, God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let us get that to you, and I'm hoping that you can get some help either through your church or one of our counselors. We really do want to help you. Let's go to Rachel from Colorado Springs, Colorado. KGFT is the station. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help you?
Well, I just have, first of all, thank you for what you guys do. It's very appreciated. And I wanted to ask you guys, I have a teenage son. He's about to turn 16. And he seems to be struggling a lot right now. He's kind of one person around these groups of people and another person at home. And he needs to understand that he kind of needs to be, I guess, transparent, really. He's got, at church, he's very mm-hmm. respectful, and, you know, he wants to teach, you know, he's got a youth pastor that he's, you know, putting lesson plans together so he can help teach and stuff, and mm-hmm. it's admirable, and that's wonderful. But at home, he tends to be kind of disrespectful. He doesn't do what he's asked without, you know, a lot of grumping, and got to kind of stay on him to do these things. And he's failing just about everything at school.
Wow. What's his dad's involvement?
What's that?
What's his dad's involvement?
His dad is there. We're not a broken family. His dad's not really a big talker. So I don't know. I don't know if he feels like he can really go to him or not. And I've got, I mean, he's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a wonderful man. But, like I said, he's just not much of a talker. And then, one of the things that I talked to my son about that he actually agreed to wholeheartedly was to, get him into counseling with, you know, a good Christian man.
Mm-hmm.
And his youth pastor is who we're doing that with. He's only had one visit so far. We're setting up another one here probably this next week. And I just don't know if there's something that I can do to help.
Okay.
Just,
well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's see what Henry and Jill have to say. What do you two think might be helpful to turn around a kid that's doing some good stuff in the area of church and literally failing?
It's interesting because, you know, I was expecting you to say he's, you know, good at home but not elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, okay, so at church he, and perhaps that's what he enjoys. I mean, if he's getting involved and wanting to teach and all of that, that may be what he's drawn to. And then is, you know, pushing away the things that he doesn't like. You know, sometimes for a lot of kids, academics can be pretty dry, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
aren't always very relational. And so, you know, that doesn't seem that out of the ordinary. But the fact that he, you know, isn't concerned about it or somehow is completely pushing that out.
Yeah.
And I think doing the counseling with the youth pastor who gets to see him at his best and then is seeing the different parts of him that are incongruent, I think that is a good choice. And to be looking at the fact that, okay, you can be teaching these things, but you also have to be integrating some things into your life, you mm-hmm. know,
right.
things about integrity.
Living what you teach.
Right, right.
Right.
And that mm-hmm. doing some of the things that we don't like to do, because that's part of our job, is
right.
to follow
and that's,
through.
That's exactly it. And I'm trying to get him to understand. I mean, sometimes he needs to hear it from somebody that's not their mother.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to get him to understand that if he wants to be a good, strong Christian man, he needs to be that all the time, not just in front of certain people.
Are you working with the youth pastor to get that message across?
I'm sorry?
Are you working with the youth pastor to get that message across?
Yes, I am. I talked to him at length, actually with my son there in the room. It was over the phone, but I put it on speaker so that my son could. Mm-hmm. I don't want there to be any, well, he said and she said. I want it to be right out in the open.
Right.
I want there to be no question of, well, you know, what did you tell him and what did he tell you? I wanted him to be there for that.
Yeah, that's good, Rachel. Mm-hmm. You know, the other question I would have is this a new thing, the school thing?
No, it's kind of an on and off thing. He will be fairly committed for about a quarter, and then he'll just lose interest.
Have you had him tested?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Tested for what?
Have you had him tested for any kind of learning problem or anything like that?
No, I don't think that's the case. I actually work at a school, so I'm around kids all the time, and I don't see any signs of that at all. I think it's more boredom. I've given him permission to change schools next year.
Ooh, because he's been okay. We got to go to a break. We'll come back and talk some more.
All right, hold on.
Okay, thanks.
We'll be back after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle. Yeah.
Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud. Talking with Rachel, said that that she's actually offered to change schools there. Henry, you had some comments?
Yeah, I had some comments before mm-hmm. that, Rachel, but after that comment, I have some other comments. one of the things that I would hit pause on, at least until we understand that better, mm-hmm. You know, if a kid is struggling and it feels like they're not trying and they're just kind of sort of, you know, acting this out or whatever, I don't think that that a consequence of that should be that it gets rewarded with going to a new school, even if going to a new school would be the right answer. What I would want is if what you're saying is right, which mm-hmm. I would have to question, and I don't mean that in question you, I just mean that in none of us know everything about what's going on in somebody's head, and that's why we have assessment tools and things like that to figure that out. But if it is boredom, what you would want to do is you would want to say to a kid something, I would think, along the lines of, okay, well, tell me why you don't like it here, and I want to see all the efforts that you put into it, and I want to see the study habits, and I want to see you do everything possible, and you might could earn your way, you know, to a different school, but you're not going to get to go to a different school because you're not trying, and we're not going to just let that happen because you know, sort of blow it off and you get a new school as a result. I wouldn't do that.
Henry, I think she's saying that that's exactly what she's done. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah, sorry, we cut out there for a second. I'm sorry if I talked over you. That's exactly what I've told him. I've told him that, you know, there's another quarter left for this year, and I told him that if he wants to change schools and he's really that intent on it, I said he needs to make things right at the school first. He needs
to
have his grades in order, and he needs to, you know, be active in the things that...
Well,
is that what he said to you?
And, Rachel, he needs to be talking to you about what's really going on with him.
Right.
How is he feeling on a day-to-day basis at school? When is he getting bored? Why is he getting bored?
Has he told you, well, I'm flunking out of school because I'm bored?
I'm sorry?
Has he told you that the reason I'm doing poorly in school is because I'm bored?
Partly. When I talked to him about it, like I said, he's been at the same school for 7 years, and I think he's feeling like he just really needs a change. He loves the school. He you know, likes the people here. He likes the administrators and most of the kids and everything, but I think he's just, I don't know, I wonder sometimes if part of it is that his older brother and sister are very scholastic. They get A's and B's easily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wonder if sometimes he feels like he's kind of competing.
Well, that,
and so
see,
instead
that,
of actually competing, mm-hmm. he just doesn't.
That's why I'm concerned about, it's sort of like the proverb that says, you know, we give an answer when we don't really understand what the question is, then, mm-hmm. you know, it's a folly. And so if when you look at a kid, I think that Jill said a very important term, and it was integrated. He's got capacities. He's using them mm-hmm. at church, okay? So he's not using them at school. So you got to wonder, what is it about this kid that has capacities that's causing the switch to go off? And it could be a learning problem that you don't know about. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that have learning problems that don't confess them to high achievers who don't confess them until well into adulthood because they're ashamed. It could be you know, the thing with the siblings. Who knows what it is? But I would say that I would look in three areas. You've got to look at the academic part of this before you make an academic decisions and go through all the assessments you will with a kid you didn't, that was not your own. Secondly, I think you've got to look at inside of his head what's going on with him and the fears and the blocks and this, that, and the other. And then thirdly, I think you have to look at the circumstances around him. And somewhere in there, he's disintegrating. He's not using capacities that he has. And the last thing you want with a teenager is to reinforce a regression. A regression is when we give up capacities that we once had in the face of anxiety. So you want him talking about it. He's got the capacity to talk. You want him processing things. He's got that capacity. And you have to require kids to do what they're regressing away from.
Right, I agree completely, and I think that's part of, you know, why I involved a counselor.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the reasons why I would like him to be at the school that he's at now, but mainly because I work there. But you know, one of the things about this other school, his dad works at that school, which, you know, there's also a parent there, but he's also, his youth pastor works at that school, and all the kids from his youth group are also in that school.
All the more incentive.
If it's a problem connecting with other kids.
Yeah,
here.
But you just want to be sure too that you're not reinforcing the way I get to change things in the world is to fail.
Right.
Because you know
exactly
the way
which
I
is
get
why
out
he's
of this.
Got to put things right here first.
Yeah, the way I get out of this job is that I start doing a bad job and get fired. That's not what you want to be instilling.
Right. But there's a lot of incentive for him to try to make it right.
Yeah.
Because at the other school, it sounds like there are a lot of things that he would desire.
Yeah.
Relationally.
Well, I'm going to send you Henry's book, Raising Great Kids, and I hope that will be a blessing to you. I'm glad that you called. And, you know, the thing is that life really does make sense. And when you start looking at things, if you, like Henry's saying here, if you go far enough, delve deep enough, you're going to find what it is that makes sense, and then you can address it. But you have to be willing, I think, to go the extra mile sometimes to find out what that element is, whether it's extensive testing or counseling or whatever. It's important that you're willing to go that extra mile if it doesn't present itself immediately. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. You come join us for New Life. Hi, this is Steve Argerman. Come join us as we cruise Alaska this summer, July 1st through the 8th. Alaska is one of God's most wonderful and spectacular works of creation. And if you haven't been before, you'll be amazed at all there is to see and to do. We'll be sailing the Norwegian Sun, starting in Vancouver and sailing north to Anchorage. Along the way, we'll stop in Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, and then sail Glacier Bay and Hubbard Glacier. Our New Life cruises are always filled with lots of fun, wonderful fellowship, and great teaching from our team. Now, joining me this year will be Dr. Dave Stoop and my very good friend and former Women of Faith speaker, Marilyn Meeber. To register or to find out more, call 1-888-770-6898, extension 103. That's 1-888-770-6898, extension 103.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud. And, you know, March was not a good month for us financially, and I need to ask your help. We're kind of hitting a mountain of about $100,000 that we're in need of. And there are two ways that that need can be met. One is please join Club New Life. You know, if you're one of the 1,000 people that are joining this year, then next year, every month is so much easier, and we've lowered it to $25. But also, if you're someone that can make a significant gift to us, significant to us is $100 or more. That's very significant. Please do. Please help us if you can. I hate to be talking about this right here when we're starting off with our new station, Houston, Texas, where we've wanted to be literally for 25 years, but we're in need. And if you can help us, please do by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or going to newlife.com. We really do need your help, either by signing up for Club New Life, where we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible, we'll give you discounts, I'll send you a CD that I do just for you with teaching that you won't hear on the radio, or a one-time gift to help us in this difficult time. We don't like being in difficult times, and we've had a whole slew of months where we weren't, but March, for whatever reason, it was a tough one. Please help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or going to newlife.com. Let's go to Tom from Tupelo, Mississippi. Sirius Satellite Radio is the station there. Hi there, Tom. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Well, doing all right. How could we help today?
I got a question about, I don't know, you might think I'm crazy. I guess that's why I'm calling to ask. I was in battle, and, you know, I think about the people that lost and the Muslims that I believe are in hell right now. And I pray for them, you know, and I don't know if I'm crazy for doing that. or, you know, I think it took me about 10 years to realize after the fact, you know, what had gone on. And,
you mean...
I think I've dealt with the guilt of what we've done. I think I've pretty much got that behind me, and then all of a sudden this comes up, you know. I know where I believe I know where they are, and it bothers me, and I pray for the people that we're fighting against.
Yeah. Mm. So don't you think part of getting ready for battle is trying not to think about those things?
Yo, I didn't think about it for a long time.
Well, don't you think that's part of the training to kind of...
Like dehumanize
them?
Yeah.
Depersonalize, dehumanize, and a compassionate man like you then eventually is going to...
Yeah, it kind of comes back.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But now
yeah.
you are having compassion for them and seeing them as people who have lost a lot.
Tom, I think that, and you know, I'm sure I'm going to get all sorts of angry emails about this, but I'll say it anyway because it's honest.
You kind of like angry emails.
You know, I really do think that, first of all, absolutely the gospel is clear. You know, God tells us how to get there. But he also says some other things, that we don't know the hearts of different people, and we don't know the light that they responded to or didn't respond to, and we don't know what they're secretly carrying around inside of them, and we don't know what they actively rejected. And if you go to Romans, for example, it basically tells us don't ask the question. You know, it says do not ask in your heart who will ascend and who will descend. Because we're not God and we can't figure out all the stuff that the judge has to figure out. And so sometimes it helps me, and don't put me in some universalist camp. That's not what I'm saying here. I believe in the clear gospel, okay? But I also believe that judgment is something that was original sin in one sense. You know, it's when we thought we could put ourselves in the seat of God and be like the Most High and know the difference between good and evil. And we ultimately can't know that. Mm-hmm. And so I always fall back on, whenever I think about questions that are unanswerable, I always fall back on that we worship a God of infinite love and infinite justice, and he won't do anything that's not fair, and he won't do anything that's not loving, and he will always do both. And I think that that's one of the best places that you can rest. And when God, which he, you know, clearly did and clearly does, is it that God calls people sometimes to be warriors. And so that fits in his whole program as well. And I think that a couple of things. I think sometimes you can ruminate over stuff like this because it's kind of a defense against a lot of the pain that you witnessed and trauma that you went through, and it's part of PTSD, which I'm sure you're aware of for veterans. But also I think, you know, all of us have these sort of like the next faith step of letting go and putting into God's hands what we don't understand.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and when I, you know, when I look at the Old Testament and all of the battles that took place there, all of the bloodshed, it is hard to understand. I mean, there were a lot of times where we had to go to battle, and that is part of our human existence.
Yeah, you know, kind of along the lines of what Henry was saying, I was preaching yesterday, and I was talking to people because I was doing the research for the message. But if you go online, there are so many stories of Jesus showing up in the lives of people of Muslim faith. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the missionaries are even using as a strategy, Jesus showing up in dreams, visions, and in person is so common that missionaries sometimes will start with, have you had a dream or a vision about a man dressed in white? And many times they will say, yes, what does that mean for me? And they say, it means that Savior wants a relationship with you, wants to save you. And so you don't know, like Henry said, you don't know what has gone on in the life of some of those folks that you dealt with.
So then praying for them is not out of the question.
Well, I think that's a different question. I mean, I don't think you're going to hurt anything, but the Bible doesn't tell us to pray for dead people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it does the opposite. It kind of tells us to pray, and all of us to listen with urgency while we are awake. You know, if you go to the Book of Hebrews, for example, it's very, very clear about, you know, listening while you still can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you can release those that have gone before into God's hand, and then you can use that prayer time actively for people that still, as the Bible says, while it is still called today.
Their families, the people left behind.
There you go. Yep.
Those are the people to be praying for.
Okay, Tom.
And really, Tom, I sure would. First of all, thank you for your service to our country.
Yeah.
And thank you for the sacrifice that you made, the torment that you go through as a result of that sacrifice. And I would hope also that you could find your way into a circle of like-hearted and like-minded wounded warriors who you can process this with.
Right.
Yeah. Because it does get better as you talk about it.
All right. Really glad that you called. And anybody else wanting to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. Now, before we go on, Henry, you've got a simulcast coming up, and let's talk about that.
I do, Steve. I've got a new book coming out next week. It's called Boundaries for Leaders. And for anybody who leads anything, whether it's a little team or a few people or a large organization or a church or your pastor or your minister or your boss or anybody, it's about how people lead in the ways that gets good results, where people thrive, and how people can lead some ways in which people don't thrive. And so I'm doing a simulcast next week. If you go to boundariesforleaders.com, you can sign up. It's going to be a live simulcast for the business community, but also for very seeker friendly, so you can take it into your workplace, but also the people who understand the Bible will see the Bible all the way through it.
Okay.
So go to boundariesforleaders.com.
All right. And then also, May 18th, I'm doing the simulcast on the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. John Townsend's going to join me there to talk about marriages for leaders and how to lead in marriage and how to have a marriage if you're a leader. And we'll be talking about the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. That's May the 18th. You can find out information about that at newlife.com to sign up your church or register. And that's going to be a 3-hour Saturday event, 8:30 to 11:30 Central, 9:30 to 12:30 Eastern. And then at Northview Church, this Thursday night, I'm starting the Marriage 7.0 at Northview University. We've got 1,000 people already signed up. And if you'd like to join us, you can find out about that at northviewchurch.us/NU. northviewchurch.us/NU, or go to newlife.com for details. That's going to be a 6-week, 7-session class culminating in the simulcast. And we'd love to have you that. The book's coming out in the month, 7-Minute Marriage Solution. 7 things to start, 7 things to stop immediately, and the 7 most valuable minutes you can spend in a day in your marriage. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more calls at 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things, and one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be. And I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. A couple of things. Alaska Cruise, July 1 through 9. Come and join us. Marilyn Meeberg, Dave Stoop, myself. Also, Every Man's Battle starts this Friday in Cincinnati. And you can still get in at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And our Women in the Battle workshop. Oh, my goodness. For women who are affected by this, one woman said, I leave here with the belief that I'm a worthy woman and the Lord loves me. My husband's betrayal will not define my identity. My head and my shoulders are up and ready for the battle with the enemy, with God's strength. That's what comes out of Women in the Battle. And if you have help and need help in any way, we've got 900 counselors around this country who want to help you. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com and find out all about it right there. Now, let's go to...
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Can I make a random comment?
Make a random
one. I'd like to make a random comment.
Okay.
You know, that statement she made about she's not defined by her husband's, you know, proclivities.
Yeah.
Right? It's such an important thing to learn in life. And I think sometimes the Christians will give an incomplete answer to that problem, because what happens is people define themselves by the way that other people treat them, right? Ooh, and if the boss is mean to them, they feel like they're a loser. If their spouse doesn't, you know, if they're dating and somebody doesn't return their phone call, blah, 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 blah. And so what Christians will do a lot of times is they will say, well, you shouldn't be dependent on other people's opinions of you. You know, you should... you know, have your identity in Christ, and that's where you get all of your good feelings about yourself and this, that, and the other. And so that is certainly one part of what the Bible teaches, that we know that because God loves us, that we are secure in His love and we can fight all battles, you know, because of that. However, there is a way that God has wired us that we are infused with feelings about our about life and about goodness and about love and about our talents and our gifts and everything, that we do get courage from the outside, that we are encouraged by people. And so so it's not just it the answer to bad people giving you messages about your lovability is not therefore unplug from all the people on the planet and just go vertical. The answer is certainly be grounded in the vertical, but the way that you are going to realize that vertical is by not by unplugging from all people, but by unplugging from wackos and plugging into the good people that display the love of God for you. And the Bible paints a picture of an integrated security that we have of being in Christ. But that includes being in His body as well. And people need people as well. And that's why God gave us each other.
That's a good point, because in that area, we tend to say, okay, it's just me and God.
Right.
As if none of the people matter. And kids developmentally learn when we mirror back to them,
right,
who they are. That's part of how they learn to define themselves.
And we know now, we have mirror neurons.
Right.
God has wired our brain.
It's been happening all along, but now
it's been happening all along. And we don't have to act like it's unspiritual to need each other. The Bible just says need the right people. And in fact, if we only go, you know, vertical and transcendent and, and quote spiritual in that sort of sense, you know, the whole book of First John has a big problem with that. So
can I make a random comment?
That's why they need these groups, Steve. That's why what you're doing in these groups for these women is so important, because they have people other than their wacky husbands or boyfriends.
I want to make a random comment.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. It's like you're saying, the Bible teaches one thing, but you can take it to the wrong extreme. Like, people say, well, your desires are all messed up, so choose the opposite of your desires. So you meet somebody that you're absolutely in love with, and you think, oh, well, this must be my sinful desires. I shouldn't love this person. I should love this other person over here that I can't stand.
That I have no desire for?
Yeah, no, but that's the one God would mean. You can so mess up your brain and your life by not having...
We go too extreme.
It's like I've said, I love this. Tomato, knowing that a tomato is a fruit, that's knowledge. Knowing not to put it in a fruit salad, that's wisdom. And you got to have more than knowledge. You need the wisdom. And that's what we're committed to here. Now,
if you feel one way, do the opposite.
Yeah.
That would be like, I think it was Rod Stewart that said, when he was asked if he was going to get married again, he said, no, I just found a woman I hate and give her a house. You don't want to always just do the opposite. Right?
No, that is exactly.
Maybe worldly right. wisdom.
You can join us on our next program. We're going to be in the studio for another couple hours at 1-800-229-3000. I'll take Bill, quick call here, Bill, as we close out the program from Enid, Oklahoma, where my family originated, KREJ. Bill, how are you?
I'm great. Hey, I have a comment on the suicide. My wife and I were getting counseling a long time ago, and I checked off the box and said, yes, I had contemplated suicide, and she thought that was just crazy. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, it really was. I was being treated for depression, which turned out to be bipolar.
Mm.
And my comment is that I think the will to live in people is so strong that when a person commits suicide, it's the product of a mind that is just not functioning correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the illness. And to die from an illness like cancer, we wouldn't say, well, you're going to hell because you died of cancer. And, and I would put suicide under mental illness that a mind that is healthy just isn't going to do that.
Yeah. Well, what a great
appreciate that, point. Bill. Thank
it
you.
Really is true.
And spoken from somebody that's been there.
Right. Yeah. And who's gotten help and knows the difference.
Now, and don't forget, one of my favorite proverbs says that a fool's mouth deserves a blow. And so if somebody says something stupid to you and you're depressed, like pull yourself up by the bootstraps, biblically, you can slap that person, according to that proverb, that a fool's mouth calls for blows. So just a little tip there. Well, hey, thank you, Bill, for that. Really appreciate it. And let me send you a copy of Henry's new book, Boundaries for Leaders. And we're so grateful that we're able to offer that book as our resource this month. I mentioned it before. I've got to mention it again. We really need your help. We want to stay on top of things. We have, oh my goodness, I think over the past 3 years, our debt is down by $2 million, and we've just done so well. But for some reason, we hit a bump in March. Help us with that, with a one-time gift, or be one of those folks that we need to join Club New Life this year. And we're every month, we are having folks sign up for the first time ever in Club New Life. We went over 5,000 members just this past month. So we're headed to 6,000, and it really is the foundation of all that we do. It's a wonderful thing. We're just asking you, maybe try it here on our 25th anniversary. We really believe that you'll enjoy being part of Club New Life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about the Women in the Battle Workshop, April the 26th, 27th, and 28th. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about the Cincinnati Every Man's Battle. We really are looking forward to helping you. And, of course, we have our counselors everywhere. Henry's got a simulcast coming up. Give us that date again, Henry.
It's next Wednesday, April 17th, I think it is.
All right. And then if you want to join me this Thursday night at Northview, you can find out about that at northviewchurch.us/NU. Or come to the simulcast or have it at your church on May the 18th for the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. We love you. We care about you. Pray for the Warren family. Pray for the... Just pray for folks who are hurting. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.